Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Thank you once again for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Jim Bunting, who is a Bible study facilitator at Most Precious Blood. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
I'm excited to have you here. We're going to talk today about the Great Adventure Bible Study.
Okay, sounds great.
But before we get started with that, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I moved to Corpus Christi roughly about 5 years ago with my wife and family. I have four children, three girls, one boy, and one more on the way. Actually, we're expecting number five.
Congratulations. Thank
you very much. Pretty excited about it, actually. And I'm actually a convert to the faith. I've been Catholic for about 4 years now.
Also, congratulations.
So, yeah. It's been great. Wonderful ride.
Well, may I ask, and forgive me for getting too personal, what caused you to look into Catholicism and caused you to convert? Was there anything in particular?
Well, I've always been very much of a seeker, and my father was a pastor actually for about 18 years, and in looking and trying to find my way, it just took me quite some time to let go and let God, as the old saying goes, and let him guide me as he wanted me guided, more so than I wanted myself to be guided. Once I had done that, I began to feel a call towards the church, and I've always been a very, very ardent student of the Bible. I can't tell you how many times I've read through it. I wear one out about every 3 years.
Okay.
The binding breaks and the like on me. But I decided, you know what, let me step back, ground zero, and study the Bible through the eyes of the church. Let me go back through reread, you know, the early church fathers and some of their commentaries. Let me go back and try to reexamine the question without presuppositions, because I kind of asked myself the question, I consider myself a Protestant. What am I protesting against? And just one by one, the wall started to fall down. And I pretty much knew that I was going to become Catholic at that point. But in my relationship with God, it's always been very important to me to be completely honest, because God's the one – he's the one person that you can't hide anything from. And also honest on myself, on my own part, because that love you have with him is just as real as you can get. And so I became Catholic at the Easter Vigil in 2008, I believe it was.
The rest is history.
The rest is history. Here I am now talking to you.
Wonderful. And I understand that you heavily volunteer at Most Precious Blood. What are some of the things that you do there?
I'm very involved in the ACTS community, which is a fantastic ministry. I'll continue to support that for as long as it's there. Today is actually is the 25th anniversary of the very first ACTS retreat outside of San Antonio. That's a movement that's spread like a wildfire, you know, all throughout the country.
We did have a show recently on ACTS. What does ACTS stand for?
Adoration, Community, Theology, and Service. And the gist of the retreat, no one will, you know, talk about it and tell you what all goes on there. But the gist of it is to help people understand what a treasure they have in their Catholic faith. Because I think in my journey as I'm in becoming Catholic, when I began to read and to study so much of this stuff, I just thought, in my head and watching people in Mass, I'm like, do you know what you have here? You know, and I could see many people didn't, even though maybe they had been, you know, going to Mass all their lives. I think the biggest reason why people don't want to say anything about it, as far as, you know, what goes on the retreat, the best analogy that I like to tell people is, think about going to Disney World. Anybody knows what Disney World is like, even if they've never been there. They know there's a castle, they know there's rides and the like, but if they ever go, they'd be excited to see it. But what if you had no idea what Disney World was, taking your kids? You had never seen any pictures, you had no conception of it whatsoever, and you get there and you step up and, wow.
That sounds even more exciting.
That's a castle. What? Oh man, there's roller coasters. There's Mickey Mouse. There's all this stuff. It strikes you differently when you hit it firsthand like that. And that's why people don't talk about what goes on in their treat, because they don't want to spoil it for you.
So there's a little promotion on our Axe Retreat.
Absolutely, absolutely.
If you all are interested, feel free to contact your local Catholic church. Hopefully there's one there. What else do you do at Most Precious Blood?
I'm heavily involved in the Bible studies, as we talked about a few minutes before the show. Lots of different ministries, wherever I can. I mean, it's a balancing act because my first ministry is of course, to my wife and my kids. But along with Acts and the Bible studies, we do, like, there's right now we have a father-daughter dance coming up here pretty soon, kind of helping to teach dads how to treat their daughters and have their daughters how they're supposed to be treated when they go out on a date and the like.
Wow, that sounds interesting.
Well, that's a kind of a tie-off. We did a resolution on Father's Day, which was kind of guided towards being the best Catholic father that you can be. Was heavily involved around St. Joseph and taking him as our model. Because being a father in the world today it's a pretty tough task. More so, I think, than when my own dad had to do it. And we just wanted to sort of gather together to be clear to ourselves what we're in for, to hold ourselves accountable for the lives that our children are going to have and how much of a weight that is on us. And we're man enough to step up and do it.
It can be done.
It can be done.
Now, obviously, with support. Well, with God's help and with support from your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ.
And that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Wonderful. Well, I'm a big advocate for faith formation. I'm the director of religious education in the Diocese of Corpus Christi. And I understand that you facilitate the Great Adventures Bible Study. I can't say enough of how important it is for people to continue their faith formation. I work with directors of religious education and a lot of catechists, and sometimes it is a struggle to get the children in the faith formation programs in the parish, not to mention providing those programs for adults. Some of those are not even existent in our local parishes, and the challenge is, especially in the new evangelization, to really extend different opportunities for us to grow and learn more about our faith.
Sure.
So can you share with me what the Great Adventure Bible Study is? I've heard about it. We facilitate it in our young adult groups, but now firsthand you can tell me what it's about.
Okay, sure. Phrase it this way. What the Great Adventure is all about is understanding the narrative story of the Bible. A lot of people can say, I know a little bit about Abraham. I know a little bit about Moses. I know a little bit about Jesus. But if you ask him, how do they all relate? How are their stories tied together? And people look at you with a blank stare. Don't know, It's going through only certain books of the Bible, not all 73 in one shot, but only 14 of them, which tell the actual narrative story of the Bible. We often go to Mass and we think the Bible is just a big, huge book of quotes. We don't think it's any kind of real linear story that starts at the beginning and goes all the way through to Revelation. If you think of it this way, if I picked up any novel, any book, Jeff Cavins, who actually does The Great Adventure, often tells it this way. Say if I picked up a copy of Huckleberry Finn, and I just flipped and turned to page 236, and I read, Huck said to Jim, blah, blah, blah. Then I flipped to page 587, Jim said to Huck, blah, 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 and then flipped to page 786, and they floated down the river. I could read 100 of these passages and just memorize them, but doing that, would I ever get the story of where they started, where they're going, and how they got there? No, of course not. You can't. So what this class serves to do is to take just those parts of the Bible that actually tell the linear narrative story, understand how that's all linked together. Then we can go back and understand how all the other ones supplement and fill in and flesh out all that story.
What are some of the things that you start with in the Great Adventure Bible Study?
That we start with? We begin at the beginning. We start with in Genesis. It divides the Bible up into 12 different periods of history. It sounds boring studying history, but when it's put in a story form, it's a lot different, of course. We watch a little video by Jeff Cavins. Then we normally go in and do a little bit of supplemental teaching in addition to that. After that, we break up into groups and have a group discussion time. So it's actually a great deal of fellowship as well.
Well, I must say that, again, it's very important that everyone, including adults, continue their faith formation. And I think that's the goal of us sharing and talking about the Great Adventure Series. When we come back, I really want to get into, I want you to give us some glimpse into the Bible study in order for us to get a taste of what we'd be listening if we became a part of a Bible study series.
Okay, sure.
Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love. The Corpus Christi Cathedral Building Maintenance Fund will benefit from the rummage sale to take place in the basement parish hall August 24th through 26th. Featured will be quality furniture, housewares, appliances, toys, sporting goods, hardware, and lots more. To donate items or get more information on the sale, call the Cathedral office at 506 North Upper Broadway at 883-4213. Ask for Donald Harris. He has all the answers.
Most Precious Blood Catholic School, as an extension of the church, is an exemplary school for pre-K-3 through 5th grades, which helps fulfill the mission of fostering a spiritual life in each individual child, along with academic excellence and physical fitness. Registration is now underway for the fall semester. Why not call 852-4800 and arrange a visit to the campus at 3502 Saratoga Boulevard? The dedicated staff will be delighted to show you around and answer all your questions. Again, the number is 852-4800. Most Precious Blood Catholic School, educating our children to know, love, and serve God.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'm with my guest, Jim Bunting, who is a volunteer at Most Precious Blood Catholic Church. We've been talking about how you got involved in being a volunteer there. We've also spoken about faith formation and the current Bible study that is occurring there, the Great Adventure Bible Study.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me why the need for this kind of Bible study? How did it all get started?
How the whole thing got started was a couple of weeks after I became Catholic, I'd gone on this journey into the church for a long time after a great deal of study, and I would thought, you know what, I want to get into some good, authentic Catholic Bible study. And so my wife and I go to Mass when I kind of had resolved myself to that, and look in the bulletin, and I don't see that there's any going on. And that afternoon, normally on Sundays, myself and a lot of members of our family all gather over at our in-law's house. And my father-in-law is a deacon, Deacon Ken Bockhold. And I ask him, Ken, you know, why this big, huge church, this big parish, why is there no Bible study? And he said, to be honest with you, it's because nobody's doing it. And I started to feel a little nudge, a little tap about that. And it was a few days later during the week when I saw another fellow that I know up at church who has been involved in a lot of ministries. And I asked him about it, you know, why is there nothing going on? And he said, well, I tried to put one on for a while and, you know, nobody came. And I thought, man, you got to be kidding me. There's got to be more than this. And I was driving home from that evening thinking about all this and was just praying about it as I was driving. And I just felt the Holy Spirit tap me on the shoulder. And I thought to myself, oh, God, you got to be kidding me. I'm going to have to get up and talk in front of people and all this stuff. But yeah, I said, you know what? Whatever you will. You know, it's fine. And so I contacted Father Bob about it. He thought it was a great idea. We looked through a couple of different programs, picked out the Great Adventure. The course itself actually has an imprimatur, so you know you're being guided well. And I think that at this point, I've done this class on and off for about 4 years now. And I think at this point, with the current class we have started, the number of attendees we have, I think a little over 650 people have been through the class there at the parish.
In these 4 years.
Right.
What a blessing.
Right. Yeah, the class we just started has 136 thus far. We have our third class tonight.
And these are all adults.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's God has brought them. He has brought them. It's just been incredible to see and to think that he's... Well, it's pretty humbling when you see them all come in like that, and people come up to you and thank you for it, and you think, man, thank you for being here, because when you teach something, you learn it twice as good as when you study it on your own. And so it's not just the students who are coming to, are the ones learning. I'm still learning a lot, you know, as you do your whole life if you continue on the road.
So it's obvious that the need, that the thirst is there, and obviously the need for adult faith formation is there.
Oh, yeah, it just really
takes the person that's committed to this ministry, that has the time. And speaking of that, what does it take to put on this kind of Bible study?
Actually, it's actually surprisingly easy. You first need, of course, get the support of your parish priest, and then you need a location, a hall, someplace that has a DVD player and a TV, and you. And that's about it. How it's structured really makes it easy. The biggest thing is just a willingness to do it. You mentioned that there's a hunger out there for it. That's an incredible understatement. People want to know the Bible, but I think the biggest thing is that they're afraid of it because they think it's just this big, huge book, and they think, how can I ever wrap my head around it? And that's the neat thing about this class is that it gives you a structure and it gives you a little some peg hooks to kind of mentally place everything on so that you can get the big picture. Another good example that I like to use with people is if you've seen little, say, puzzle pieces all your life. And you might see like the head of a dog in this one, or a piece of a barn. You might begin to recognize what some of the things are in a picture, but you can't put them together. What this course serves to do is that it doesn't flush out the entire picture in the puzzle, but it does sketch it out, the outlines of all the different pieces and parts, so that at least you can tell what all is there.
So it's not intimidating.
No, and many people dive right into it and they just can't get enough of it. I actually had one guy ask me last week, hey, I see we're assigned to read these chapters. Do you mind if I read a little more? And I'm thinking, man, what am I going to tell you? No, don't read the Bible. Of course you can read more, But you have other people who it is brand new to them, and they don't understand that the Bible is divided into chapters and verse. Not their fault. They've just never been taught. There's a great prayer by St. Ephrem who I like to give out to everyone who comes. He compares the studying of Scripture to going to drink from a fountain. You can only drink so much of the fountain at a time. You can't drink the whole thing. You can't empty it out all at once. So be happy with whatever you can get. Whatever God gives you at that time, just take that. And what's left there that you haven't drunk, well, that's your inheritance for tomorrow. That's what you're going to go back and get as long as you persevere and keep on going back to the fountain. And the Bible, the Scripture, of course, it's an endless fountain.
Well, that first of all sounds very exciting. To get bits and pieces one day and to look forward to the next. You mentioned this gentleman who wanted to read more.
Yeah.
So speaking about that, what are some of the fruits that you see that come out from someone attending a Bible study?
In one like this, I think the biggest fruit is that if it's true that you're learning what the whole narrative story of the Bible is about, I think the biggest fruit that I've seen people gain is that they come to understand their own place in the story. And they come to understand that just because, all these things were written down about all these different people from so long ago, they're part of the story too. They're part of the story in God's story of salvation history. You and I are. We all are. And it's pretty neat when people start to get that, because you can see the little light bulbs go off in their eyes and the little aha moments. That's a really fulfilling thing to see.
So speaking of history, is it important in order for us to understand our identity, especially as Catholics, that we understand our history? And does this Bible study help with that?
I don't think it's just important. I think it's vital. I forget who said it, but someone once said, I think it was Winston Churchill, who said that if you don't understand where you've been, you'll have no idea where you're going. Especially in this day and age, with what all is going on in the world, our identity as Catholics, if you don't know where we came from and how we got here, then you can't dive into it and get the whole big picture of things. I mean, your vision of what the church is will not be fleshed out. It'll be very minor compared to what it actually is. I studied history in college, so I love this stuff. And it's kind of take it from my old storytelling grandpa who's great about putting things as stories and not so much a fact date, but sort of laying it that there were people involved and they had things happen to them and they went here and went there and that's how things played out.
Well, it seems as though we would feel a connection when we do go through this Bible study. What are some of the exciting parts that you like sharing? Do you ever look forward to a particular class that you facilitate? What are some of the stories in this series that you just really like sharing?
I like sharing it all, in all honesty, because every part of the 12 narrative periods that we study has its own unique place. The neat thing, I think, that ties them all together is trust in God. And that's sort of a common theme that begins in Genesis and goes all the way through the time of Christ in the church. we don't always understand where it is that we're going or where God is leading us. But if we trust Him to get Him there, God will get us there. Tonight we're actually going through Abraham and learning the story about Abraham and Isaac. And, you know, and that's, people often ask themselves, you know, hey, could I do that? Could I take Isaac and, you know, can I take my son and bind him up if God asked me to and the like? And we're often called that in our own situations of lives where we're put into situations where we don't understand where, you know, where it is that we're going. But if we have that kind of faith, look what comes out of it. That's what the incredible thing is. God doesn't let us down. He doesn't forsake us when we place our trust in Him and just give the love back to Him that He gives to us.
And there's a good key word there, and that's covenant. The covenant.
Absolutely.
that God has given to us, and it's a mutual love for one another, God for us and us for God. And you're right. He will not forsake us, and He's guided us up to the cross and salvation in Jesus Christ. And so are you saying, you spoke about this briefly earlier, but are you saying then, and I'm playing devil's advocate, so to speak here, that there's a common thread that links the Old and the New Testament?
Entirely, yeah. It starts on early and just continues on through the whole of the Bible. That's what the narrative story of the Bible is all about, is getting you to see that story that's there.
If you would like more information about Bible studies, contact your local parish. Jim, I would like to thank you for being with us.
It's my pleasure.
Stay with us for Deacon Nolte and Sacred Moments.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
In a box on a shelf in a closet sits an electric train. It looks like the old steam locomotives from long ago, the ones seen in westerns, trains which now serve as museum pieces in small towns across America. This train belonged to a boy who received it on his 10th birthday in 1939. That boy was my father, and that train still blows smoke and runs on the tracks now just as it did when he first set it up in 1939. Today, 21 years after his death, his train runs every Christmas and is enjoyed by his great-grandchildren, children he never met, children who know him only through stories. I remember my older brother and me playing with this train as children. Our father allowed us to set it up. When we needed help, he would step in and show us how to connect one track to the next, how to repair broken pieces, and how to lubricate the locomotive. He showed us how to put a little white tablet in the smokestack to make smoke. On my brother's 10th birthday, he received an electric train. His was one of the modern designs, the kind our grandmother once rode on a trip to Baltimore. We often set both trains up at the same time, complete with crossing lights, side switches, and parallel tracks, running them together. I remember telling my brother that if I ever got a train, I wanted one like our father's. On my 10th birthday, I received just such a train. It took some doing and covered most of the living room floor, but we figured out how to set up and operate all three trains at the same time. 3 years ago, my brother died, and now his son has his train. When I die, one of my children will be entrusted with my train and another with my father's. And so the story continues. In Deuteronomy, the 5th book of the Bible, God tells Moses to gather all of Israel together and to read the law to them, that they may hear it and learn it. Later, Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord." Today, at every Mass celebrated around the world, we do exactly that. We do this so that we can hear and learn the story of our family, the family of God. The Church Fathers in Vatican Council II called the family the domestic church. How we live as Christians is to somehow be reflected in our daily lives. What we do as family takes on the character of the family of God, to which we belong as adopted sons and daughters. At home, we come together for a meal and are fed by each other's stories about what has happened recently. Nurtured and nourished by one another with word and food, strengthened to face the world outside, we go forth to our particular tasks as parents and children, workers and students. When we attend Mass, we gather together around God's table. We hear the stories from Scripture, and we receive the Eucharist. Together we are nourished and nurtured, strengthened for the tasks entrusted to us, and then we are sent forth. Our faith is being entrusted to each of us to know it and pass it on. And so the story continues. May God grant you the blessing of knowing that family can be messy and broken, but still called to holiness. May you learn to know and appreciate the gift of both family and faith, and may you always seek to continue the story as you toil in the labors of love. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. Again, I'd like to thank my guest, Jim Bunting, who is the facilitator of the Great Adventure Bible Study at Most Precious Blood Catholic Church. If you would like more information about how to get involved in your local Bible study, please contact your pastor at your neighborhood Catholic church. Again, thank you for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.